A Chakra at Sri Ramanashramam by Krishna Bhikshu. In our last issue, within the body of the article Venumal, we mentioned that Bhagavan had drawn a Sri Chakra for her around the year 1920. We also provided an internet address where this chakra created by the hand of Bhagavan himself can be accessed. www.ashrama.org/images/Sri Chakra. As the Sri Chakra of Venumal was drawn decades before the construction of the Matrubhudeshwara temple, we can assume that Bhagavan was all along well aware of the importance of this tantric symbol for those inclined toward the formal worship of Devi or toward tantric worship in particular. And from the fact that he took the time and interest to provide Venumal with this image and in later years took immense interest in the construction of the mother's temple and the installation of the Sri Chakra Meru at Sri Ramanashramam, there can be little doubt that Sri Bhagavan approved of its use and understood its value for spiritual aspirants. The following article first appeared in the April 1965 issue of the Mountain Path Journal. Here, Sri Krishna Bhikshu, himself a Devi Upasaka, shares his insight into the rationale for this form of worship and helps us understand why it has become an integral feature of the rituals performed at Sri Ramanashramam today. In the sanctum sanctorum of the Matrubhudeshwara temple at Sri Ramanashramam, established by Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi, in a small niche in the western wall stands an object of worship, 2 feet square and proportionately high, cut out of a single piece of granite and resting on a base of gold plate on which is etched a particular symbolical geometric figure. This object has been worshipped ever since its installation by Sri Bhagavan in 1949, the year before he laid down the body. In technical terminology, it is a Sri Chakra Meru standing on a Sri Chakra Bhuprasthara Yantra. It may seem incongruous to some that Bhagavan, who all his life taught the philosophy and path of Advaita or identity, should at the same time inaugurate this other mode of worship or sadhana, which is to all appearance far removed from it. But since he did so, it behooves us to try to understand why and for what we must investigate the significance of the Sri Chakra Meru and Sri Chakra Yantra and of the sadhana based on them. While doing so, it is well to remember that they are a symbolism and a sadhana that go right back to Vedic times and are said to have been originally instituted by the Lord himself. The object of all sadhana taught and practiced at Sri Ramanashramam is only to realize the ever-existing identity between the worshipper or individual self and the worship or supreme self. Advaita itself is based on the Vedic text Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. All this is Brahman. To realize this is the purpose of any type of Advaitic Upasana or teaching. The teaching is succinctly set forth in another verse, Isavasyam Idam Sarvam Yadkincha Jagatyam Jagat. Whatever lives and moves in this phenomenal world is to be clad in the luminosity of the Lord. To put it more simply, we have to realize as a result of sadhana and not merely know theoretically that everything, visible and invisible, is a manifestation of the Supreme Brahman. This is technically termed Brahma Atma Aikya Siddhi realization that the Brahman or Supreme Self is the same as the Atma or individual self. The Supreme Being is called the Brahmanda or Ega Brahma and the composite personality of the individual, the Pindanda or Egg of Flesh, the embryonic form of the individual self or the basic form out of which it is evolved is called the Ananda or Egg of Life. From the Pindanda, the successful Sadhaka rises to the Brahmanda or limitless beyond. Successful sadhana results in a blissful Ananda, conscious, Chinmaya, existence, Sat. In that state, there are neither I nor others, neither self nor phenomena, but only the all-embracing Satchitananda, being consciousness, bliss. However, even this, the texts say, is only the mode of Brahman called Saguna or conditioned. Beyond it is Nirguna Brahman or conditionless Brahman to which no words or attributes can reach. The Sri Chakra Meru type of sadhana instituted by Bhagavan at his ashram aims at this same ultimate objective through concentration on a symbol called the Meru. The method is known as Tantra or Tantrism, being based on the ancient Tantric texts. These are coeval with the Vedas. The sadhana based on them is worship of the power of Brahman, which is called Tripura Sundari, the same as the Saguna Brahman we referred to above. Of course, it must not be supposed that Saguna Brahman is anything different from the ultimate Nirguna Brahman. It is only another aspect of it. Tantric sadhana proceeds by worship of a form, or perhaps concentration on a form might be a more apt description. This is usually geometrical figure called Yantra, although, as will be explained later, it may also be an icon. This sadhana involves the utterance of mantras and the use of the requisite dravyas or supports at the right moment and in the right manner. It can only be validly performed by one who has been initiated into it by a guru. The tantras declare that the devata or god worship, the yantra or symbol used, the mantra or words uttered, and the mantri worshipper are all one and the same, and therefore the purpose of this worship is to rise from the state of creature to the state of creator. Probing into the meaning of this mode of sadhana, we find that it is a method of concretizing concepts in a material form, and by working through the material form, rising above it to the level of concept, and then above even that to the finer and more subtle level of its source. The material form through which one works may be a pratika or icon, or a pratima or geometrical symbol. This last is known as a yantra. Tantrikas use both types. Both are described in detail in the Agamas or Tantric texts, and it is important that they should be exactly as laid down, because there is no fancy or imagination in the prescription but precise symbolism. The object of this article is not to describe this symbolism at length, but to explain the basic concept underlying Tantric worship. How do we represent the entire cosmos with its phenomenal manifestations in a geometrical figure? Its causal or embryonic state
The andanda,
referred to above, is represented by a minute circle called the bindu, round which the yantra is built. This point or minute circle represents the unevolved essence or germ of being, the virtual Satchidananda, known in the individual as the Antaryami. To counterbalance it, the fully evolved and perfected manifestation or actualized perfection is represented by an infinitely large circle. This is the
Brahmanda.
And since it has no limitation, the limits of manifestation are represented by squares within it. Out of the bindu or causal state of the individual, which is the causal body or karna sarira of the cosmos, are manifested kala and nada, light and sound, which appear on a formal plane as form and name, that is, on the level of formal manifestation, but prior to that, on the causal plane, first arise desire and action, icha and kriya. These are the first two expressions of the prime power or shakti. Thus, the whole process of manifestation is dependent on and governed by the shakti, who is 1. Chit or consciousness, 2. Icha, wish or desire, 3. Kriya or action. Kriya is the combined result of the first two and is represented as the apex of the triangle of which they form the base. Although one says base and apex, the triangle is actually inverted, with its apex pointing downwards, since it represents the descent of the divine into the manifested world. The sadhaka is represented by another triangle with its apex pointing upwards. The two triangles interpenetrate, and in the heart of them is the bindu. The icha of the individual leads him to action, and from the two of them combined arises consciousness aspiring upwards. The descent of the divine and the ascent of the aspirant are thus interlocked. And this is the simplest form of the yantra or symbol. Between the bindu and the beyond power of the Maha Tripurasundari or Supreme Shakti has now built for herself a pindanda represented by the six-pointed star, and out of this emerge the microcosm or individual and the macrocosm or cosmos. This is also called the first pura, body or abode, in which the Mula Shakti or original Shakti abides. All the geometrical figures used in the chakra are variants of circles and triangles. A bindu surrounded by a triangle in a circle can represent the entire creation, but all the manifestations of power have to figure in the completed yantra. According to tantric teaching, the Mula Shakti or original Shakti manifests as three different Shaktis at each node of the triangle. These are Sri Mahasaraswati, Sri Mahashakti and Sri Mahakali, the three primary forms of the mother. They are the first deities to be worshipped by every manifestation of form and name in the universe. Each of them has various aspects which are manifested in the larger triangles. The powers of the Shakti are legion. Cosmically, each larger triangle represents a wider and grosser manifestation. The tantric texts give the names of the presiding deities at each of the nodes of each of these triangles. This diagram of manifestation is surrounded by two concentric circles, of which the inner represents the centrifugal forces and the outer the centripetal. The various types of force are represented by the petals of a lotus. Outside the circles, there is still grosser manifestation represented by squares which surround the pura or abode of the Devi. Every type of matter, metal, tree and living creature is given a place in these ramparts. The deities which preside over each rampart are mentioned and have to be worshipped by the aspirant. It is said that the Sri Pura, or place in which the mother manifests herself, is surrounded by 25 ramparts of different materials, and that beyond this is the unmanifest power of the Shakti. For the individual, the order is reversed. What is in seed form in the first upright triangle has to be expanded by sadhana into the larger triangles which represent wider powers latent in them. Ultimately, he has to overleap the ramparts and merge in the all-pervading and manifest. I have purposely not given the details of the chakras mentioned in the text, since Tantrism is a secret tradition not to be revealed in its operative details except to those who are initiated into it. It is enough to say that each figure represents some tattva in the cosmic creation, which is the second pura or abode of the mother, and the beyond, that is
the Brahmanda
of the cosmos, is the third pura. Tantrism teaches that in worshipping the deities at each point of the diagram, one acquires their grace and develops the power they represent. Thus, what begins as the mere worship of an outer form becomes a samskara on the mental plane, and these samskaras can actualize powers in the individual which were hitherto merely virtual or potential. Finally, they lead the individual back to the amplitude of power, consciousness and bliss, which is the essential nature of the Divine Mother. Tantrics believe in the manifestation of the Mother in form and name, which means that for them, creation is a fact and not just an illusion, as it is for the pure Advaitin. The Advaitin works for the elimination of ignorance or illusion, whereas the Tantric works for the development of cosmic power and consciousness. The ultimate goal of both is the same, that is, identity with Saguna Brahma, and further, eventual transition into the Nirguna beyond. 1. It is to be noted that these two viewpoints are not mere theories after the style of Western philosophy, of which one must be false and the other true. Rather, each is a theoretical basis for a practical discipline or sadhana. They are in ultimate agreement, not in the theoretical plane, but because the sadhanas based on them lead ultimately to the same goal. Tantrism teaches that there are a number of worlds on different planes, controlled by different powers of the Divine Mother. The ultimate result of sadhana is identification with the formless and nameless power above them, all which is Maha Tripura Sundara. the Supreme Shakta. Now, to return to the specific case of Sri Ramanashramam, the yantra called Sri Chakra Bhuprastara is etched on a gold plate and forms the base of the Meru worshipped there. To the normal Sri Chakra form thus etched, Bhagavan added some Bija Acharas of the mantra of Kumara or Subramanya. The Meru Prastara is the Sri Chakra in conical form, its apex representing the highest point of realization attainable to the aspirant as a result of his sadhana. The mind becomes one-pointed and merges into the indescribable beyond, that is the mother. Through this chakra, the deities or devas are to be worshipped. It is taught that the universe is in three stages, the causal, subtle and gross. For the tantric, all this has to be symbolized, whereas for the Advaitin, it is not necessary. The ultimate result aimed at is the same for both. That is why Sri Bhagavan, who prescribed self-inquiry for those who could follow it, also instituted this type of temple worship for those who were helped by it. Thus, the beneficent power which he brought on earth is infused into the Sri Chakra, sanctified by his touch. Some of his devotees believe that when he felt that the time was approaching for him to give up the body, he instituted this as a means of canalizing and continuing the grace he had brought to them. He infused his divine power into the Sri Chakra and Meru Chakra so that those drawn to the more elaborate path might continue to receive his grace even after the disappearance of his body, as well as those who practiced self-inquiry. He was present at the installation and took a great interest in the Pratishthapana, personally adding some details to the forms of the chakra and supervising the entire construction of the temple. He inspected every stone of the temple carefully during its construction and told the workmen to eliminate every defect, and at every stage he was the final authority both on form and on the ritual to be adopted and the deities to be worshipped. It is through his grace that the Matrubudeshwara temple is now Rishi Pratishthapita, radiating his light, which is the light of the mother. Its very name signifies that it is Ishwara, God, who has become the mother, pointing to the identity between Ishwara and mother, or between Shiva and Shakti. Thus, the Advaitic doctrine of identity is not negated by this act of Bhagavan, but on the contrary, it is reinforced so as to be available for those who require a more ritualistic path. As a fitting conclusion to this article, we add a note on the installation of the Sri Chakra recorded by Alan Chadwick. Bhagavan took a personal interest in the cutting of the Sri Chakra Meru of granite, which was installed in the temple and is regularly worshipped. At the time of the Kumbhabhishekam or consecration, on the penultimate night, before the holy water was poured over the images, he personally supervised the installation in the inner shrine. It was an extremely hot night with the charcoal retorts melting the cement inside to further add to the heat, and it must have been intolerable inside. But he sat there for about an hour and a half telling them what to do. On the last night before the final day, he went in procession, opening the doors of the new hall and temple, and passed through into the inner shrine, where he stood for some 5 or 10 minutes with both hands placed on the Sri Chakra in blessing. I happened that night to be at his side the whole time. This was unusual, as I usually avoided taking a prominent part in such things, but liked to watch them from a distance. However, something made me stay by him, and on account of that, I am able to testify to his deep interest in the temple and especially in the Sri Chakra. It was because of this knowledge that I was instrumental after Bhagwan's passing in persuading the ashram authorities to start the Sri Chakra pujas 6 times a month. The explanation of this unusual show of interest by Bhagwan is probably to be found in the necessity for the Shakti always to accompany Shiva. It is not enough to have Shiva alone. On the only occasion when such a puja was performed in Bhagavan's lifetime, he refused to go to his evening meal at the usual time, but insisted on staying to watch it to the very end. When someone remarked to, actually it was Alan Chadwick himself who said this and who undertook to see to it, editor, how magnificent it had been and what a good thing it would be if such pujas could be performed regularly, Bhagwan replied, yes, but who will see to this? As I have already said, it is now being done and undoubtedly has the blessings of Bhagwan.